We have public hearings. Item number 12, pertaining to Tanager Island Scrape Sanctuary, pertaining to crabbing, and prohibition of crab dredging in Virginia waters.
Good afternoon to everyone.
Yeah, it's been a long one.
So, this is a public hearing, and I think the first thing to remind you is a good presentation last month by Pat Gear on the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey. And the outtake of all that is that we're still above average on the spawning age females. Those females that will spawn, if they haven't late May already, they'll spawn in July and August. So, you know, that was the good news. Juveniles are still a little bit touchy about, you know, I'd like to see higher abundance there, but at the same time, you know, the environment really controls the juveniles. And the good thing about the spawning age females is there was a pretty stiff winter in January that, you know, the overwintering mortality was up a little bit compared to the usual year. So you have that information from last month. The second thing is that staff had asked to advertise two other items that are not included today. And the reason is one involves the Mr. Mark Sanford and his request for probably 4 years, I think, to be able to unclog the Lynn Haven area and be able to get some of the effort out on the coastal area. So this was worked on dutifully by Sarah Blackman, and when she got to a certain point, Mr. Royce Bridger from Engineering Surveying got involved, and he said, wait a minute, that's a restricted area. That's a naval restricted area. And I'll have a little map of that in a little bit. So staff immediately went to council to get advice, and we got very good advice that there could be two ways that you could be in that area harvesting, but really the first one was like a petition that would probably take a couple years. The second one was to ask the Navy for a 30-day temporary allotment to be in the area, which wouldn't benefit the crabbers at all.
Just confused.
So we did not advertise that. I did speak with Mr. Sanford, and he understood. He indicated that, yes, he knew that was a restricted area, but harvesters had been there before. The Navy did push them out at certain times, and you can imagine what would happen if you had about 600 or 700 crab pots there, and the Navy said you have to push out. So that was not advertised. The second item that was not advertised was a measure for the crab fishery. Law enforcement asked fisheries for putting forward to the commission a U.S. bushel as the measure for the crab harvest. And when law enforcement talked to fisheries and we sat down about it, we agreed that it might be a little confusing to do that now at this part of the season. It'd be better to wait to the fall, bring that to the commission, and have something that starts up and everyone knows about what's going to happen March 17th when the season starts.
Good forethought. Good point.
But law enforcement very supportive of that, and so is fisheries. Needless to say, there can be creativity in the industry as to what a barrel really is, or even a bushel. So, you know, just like oysters, there needs to be a standard. With that, I'm going to show some information that I didn't get a chance to show you last month because you keep having these kind of days. This is just some summary information. The red line is showing you the harvest in pounds, and the blue line is showing the value. And you can see that generally they track pretty well. We don't have the greatest economic information. We don't have mandatory economic information. We do have mandatory harvest information. And so for that reason, you know, the trend is what is important. But you can see that the price definitely increased, you know, starting in about 2014 and on. And, you know, the price per pound would have gone up as well. So that's from the crab pot. This is from the peeler pot. Yes, it does look very unusual. 2001 must have been a banner year for peeler crabs and for the peeler pot harvest. The spike there is related to, you know, a pretty typical harvest. If you look along the lines here, you know, you're running fairly typical, maybe a little bump up, but certainly not enough to cause that. So that's partly the economic detraction that we have because we don't mandatory reporting. But the other thing is there are times, there are years, there are seasons where the price is very good. The one thing to mention, Jill and I today took a look, and I've been curious and I hadn't looked for a number of years, but the peeler pot is taking about 30% of its harvest is puffgrass. And that's up quite a bit from the past. I mean, we're going to look back, going back to 1994 and look forward there, but my memory says that it used to be more like 5 or 8%. But when you look from 2009, where we look today, to 2017, it's about 30% hardgrass. If you turn that around to the first figure I showed you, the what's called the hard pot is also the crab pot. You know, that only accounts for about 0.2% of peeler crabs over the years. So it's just something that I think is noteworthy. You've seen these in the past. We continue to show you that in general, if you look at the number of eligible harvesters, they don't have to buy their license. That's in the orange. The ones that do buy their license is in the blue, and the green is showing those that are active. Active just means did they harvest at least a pound of blue crab. And you can see a little drop off in the active here. This is for the crab pot licenses. But you can also see, which you'll see more pronounced with the scrape situation, that there still are harvesters who are buying the license and not using it. This big drop was owing to the 2008 disaster relief from NOAA, and there was a buyback part of the program that we had. We had five different programs, and one was a buyback, so you did see a drop-off there from folks who sold out. Same thing for the peeler pot, but a little more telling, a little more decline in the number of active harvesters as you go forward in time to 2017. You still have those who buy licenses, don't use them, and you have a lot of folks who are still eligible, you know, about 570 who are eligible, and maybe 230 who are actually harvesting crabs. This is just some data to show you about the effort. If you look at this column and this column, the harvesters went down a little bit in 2017, but in general, the overall average is probably about 900 through the 2008 to 2007 time period. Trips do respond to the time when we had a little pulse. So up here, 2009, 2010, there was that pulse of crabs. You had a real situation of a depletion in 2014. 2013 was a very low year, probably 19 million pounds total harvest of all crabs, all market categories. And then you see it fluctuate around the 50, 55,000 trips in a season for the crab pot. And you can follow the harvest as well. Actually, I misstated because this probably does not include the peeler, but if it did, you gain a little bit more. So these were two very low years. I think in general, if you remember last month, 1997 through 2007 was not a good time for the blue crab stock. I think there were 8 years of overfishing. The abundance was low in every category, and there were some more than fine-tuning regulations that were done in 2008. The 34% reduction of female harvest was bay-wide. That was all the jurisdictions. So the peeler pot, for the trips at least, shows that the trips are fairly similar throughout time, dropped off in 2017 a little bit. You do see the lower amount of harvesters compared to, you go back to 2009, again, that's right after 2008, and there was a pulse. There was about a 19% increase in harvest that year. There were a lot of harvesters. This is a little work by Alex, so it's nice to have friends do some work and do some good work. This light blue line running through everything is really showing you the predicted harvest. And if you look at the shaded area, that's the total abundance. So you can see that there's a fairly good relationship between total abundance and predicted harvest. The observed harvest is in these diamond, yellowish-brown diamond shapes here. And this is only one standard deviation. If anyone really likes statistics, that just means it covers 68.5% of the probability rather than a 95% confidence interval. So it's a very coupled relationship with just a couple of points out here that are outside of it. And again, if you look at these years here, I mean, that is the trough. Yes, we did have a depletion in 2014, but things moved up a little bit. This shows you the coupling of the observed and predicted harvest, and you can see that there's a pretty good relationship there. It starts to fall apart a little bit in the last 5 years or so. Sort of a underachieving in the harvest, and this is Bay-wide, of the predicted harvest. But you go to other years, for example, in here, I mean, it's pretty much the same predicted and observed harvest. So using that information, I think what staff told you last month was the Bay-wide harvest was over 54 million pounds. The long-time average is more like 68 million pounds. And the expectation here using this relationship that was developed by Maryland Department of Natural Resources originally would be for 56, a little over 56, under 57 million pounds Bay-wide this year. So you can probably expect that if that's the case, then Virginia's going to be somewhere in the, you know, the early 20s or 23, 24 million pounds, something like that. We'll have to wait and see, of course. This shows you the relationship, and the one thing here is it is a very good relationship. 70% of the variability in the abundance down here and the harvest are explained by each other. So no matter what you look at, the biological data down here, that's a pretty good relationship. It's fallen down. So I just showed you a couple slides ago that in the last 5 or 6 years, the predicted harvest was higher than the observed harvest. This statistic used to be 86% back in time. That's still good. This is what I mentioned earlier. Just wanted to bring it to your attention. And the collaboration of Ms. Blackman and Mr. Bridger really helped a lot because we didn't step in something that we should not have stepped in. But what you see here, if you can read through here, that there is a navel-restricted area, which is outlined in this whitish shadow. The greenish area is where Mr. Sanford was interested in having, alleviating the closure that exists from May the 9th through September 15th. You want to be in here and crab at that time. And up to a point, staff was supportive. But that point vanished because of this situation here. So that's the conclusion of that information. When you go back and look at 2007 evaluations that were done for the commission, there was reservations at that time by Dr. Lipschitz, who I spoke to yesterday, and he's on an assignment, and I indicated I think everything will be fine, but when it gets to be a little bit more sticky, please come and join us here for the commission. So, but he had not been very supportive of this back in 2007 on the idea that you can still have spawning potential that you're losing, and even though the harvesting doesn't ever seem to have been too much back in the coastal area. The other complication is Mr. Sanford wanted this slough here, which now moves into two different areas, Area 3 and Area 4. So, again, staff was trying to work with Mr. Sanford. It didn't work out. An issue that is up today for amendments in regulation is the crab scrape licenses. And as I told you later, you can look over at this last column, roughly 10% on average of individuals who are eligible. They don't have to buy the license. They're eligible. Roughly 10% go ahead and become active. The odd thing is that there's still a lot of purchase licenses, and there is a certain active number of licensees that is much less than either what's eligible or what's purchased. And I'm hoping to have brought all the paperwork for me, because we do have a public comment on this. And the public comment is from Mr. Moore, Chesapeake Bay Foundation. And I'm not sure, I haven't looked around.
There he is.
Okay. So I'll let him handle that public comment, and they can do that in a little bit. So again, the idea here is that the General Assembly passed legislation which authorized the crab scrape, which is mostly an Accomack Tangier situation. It has been used elsewhere to be able to keep hard crabs. And when staff talked to Mr. Dan Dyes, Tangier, and he has given up scraping, but he talked to a dozen or so individuals, and they don't want to have male crabs as part of that hard crab harvest of the scrape. You know, they don't think that's a good idea. And they don't want a lot of crabs, some type of bycatch, up to 3 bushels, as you'll see today. And they're perfectly fine with an August through October season. And right now, where we stand, there aren't a lot of harvesters. 29, and you know, you can see the location. 20 of those are in Tangier Sound. And when we look at 2017, 20 active harvesters in the Accomack County, Tangier area, one in Northampton. You did see this last month, but again, right around an average through here is probably 45,000 pounds. This is of the peelers now. This is, you know, we had to have that information to be able to figure out number of trips, which was done here. And with the number of trips, we could generate the number of bushels per harvester. And then with 3 bushels a trip, not a day, but a trip, because they're not going every day, we could let you know that it'd be about 0.5% of the total female crab harvest. So I think that the idea here is that it's fortunate that we do have sort of an average year and don't need substantive changes. However, if you can go to your regulation, and I'll get the page number for you, it starts on page 10 at the bottom right-hand corner. You have small numbers where the pages are numbered at the bottom. And we do have to do some more than housekeeping, because we have the main regulation, which is Chapter 270, extends only to July 4th. And then another year has to be enacted there for July 5th of 2018 through July 4th of 2019. So starting on page 10, which is page 3 of 7 of the regulation, you can see that the sections are being modified to incorporate the new year, which is not a calendar year, but just runs from July to July. So you see that for the season limits, the changes there. And if you flip over to page 12, which is page 5 of 7 of the regulation, you can see that also there have to be changes in the dates of the season involving the bushels and the barrel limits, and that's on both B and C of that page, and you can see those changes. So staff did advertise that, because that's not something that can be done administratively. The second regulation to look at is Chapter 240, and this is concerning the bycatch allowance for the scrapers, and that's on page 1 of 2. It starts with the language that from August 1 through October 31, there should be a limited daily bycatch allowance of up to 3 bushels of female hard crabs for valid peeler scrape licensees. And again, it may be per day, but they don't go out every day. So it's, you know, that's why we use trip-based data. The last regulation and what we advertised was a prohibition of crab dredging in Virginia waters. This would be the 11th year. If the commission approves the staff recommendation to close the crab dredging season of December 1, 2018 through March 31, 2019. And last month, you may remember, you had a page attached to your evaluation that went through the chronology of what the commission had done since 2008 and why this fishery season kept being kept closed by the commission. So you had that last month. So the 270, Chapter 270 has the amendments. At the same time, there'll be amendments to 1140 to close the crab dredge fishery season and amendments to Chapter 240 to allow the limited bycatch by scrape gear. So the recommendation from staff is to be a little redundant. Chapter 4 of the AC 2011-40-10, prohibition of crab dredging. Staff recommends the commission establish a prohibition of a crab dredge season during December 1, 2018 through March 31, 2019. Also in Chapter 270 pertaining to crabbing, for all relevant sections which staff just went through of this regulation, staff recommends the commission adopt the July 5, 2018 to July 4, 2019 management framework period to replace the current period, which does end July 4, 2018. And finally, the Chapter 240 pertaining to Tangier Island Scrape Sanctuary, staff recommends the commission establish a seasonal bycatch allowance of female hard crabs not to exceed 3 bushels a day for crab scrape licensees during the months of August through October. And just as a note about this last recommendation, staff really didn't understand how all that developed. And so we talked to Mr. Guise on Tangier. We knew that the regulation had been promulgated in 1988, but we didn't know why. There was no, you know, computer age and everything stored on the computer wasn't with us until about 1994. So we didn't know why. Accordingly, what happened was there were crab potters who were placing their crab pots in the grass areas and setting up a little bit of a problem for the crab scrapers. So they came to an agreement and went to the General Assembly, and that was the advent of the Tangier Sanctuary at that time. Wanted to lay that to you as well. That's all I have, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. Any questions of Rob? Thank you, Rob. Very well done. Very well. This is a public hearing. Is anyone in the audience like to be heard pro or con on these matters? Seeing none, the matter is before the Commission for discussion and action. Mr. Miner?
Move to approve staff recommendations.
Motion made by Mr. Miner to approve staff recommendations. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. I tell you what, big change from many years ago. Big change.
We'll always remember
that. My Lord. Deep breath.